Well, good morning. A little different for me this morning. When we talked about this morning sharing, Jerry asked if I would. Well, he said that Jerry said that the Sunday school lesson is on giving for this week, and that. He didn't tell me I had to share on giving, but or on the Sunday school lesson. But if you had your Sunday school books with you, you can open them up. Before we get started, though, I think we're going to have. It's been a while since I did something for the kids, and Jolene is going to do a little children's class for the kids. So if the kids want to come up and maybe sit on this bench over here, we'll do something for the kids this morning. The scriptures this morning, the printed text in the Sunday school lessons are Deuteronomy 15, 7 through 11, and then Deuteronomy 24, 10 through 15, and then also Psalms 37, 21 through 26. All right. Thank you, Jolene. Thank you, children, for taking part in that. Giving is a good thing. So our lesson today is titled Cheerful, Generous Giving. The focus is to learn how to practice cheerful and generous giving in love to meet needs. And there's three sections. I gave you those scriptures, Deuteronomy 15, 7 to 11, and Deuteronomy 24, 10 through 15, and then Psalms 37, 21 through 26. The title on these three scriptures, the first one is Willing Givers, the second one is Merciful Givers, and the third one is Blessed Givers. We're going to talk a little bit about that. The first one is Willing Givers, and it's Deuteronomy out of Deuteronomy 15, 7 through 11. So, I think I'll read that section and then make some comments on it. And if anybody has something that sticks out to them in the course of this morning, feel free to share it. Something that comes to your mind or something you've learned over the past. feel free. All right, Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. And I'm going to I'm going to read out of the New King James. It says, "If there is among you a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his needs, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. And he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved, when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land." All right. The first thing I want to talk about is, at the beginning of chapter 15, it talks about the 7 years. And in the seventh year, any loan, anything that you had lended to another Israelite, it was to be forgiven. So if Jerry had borrowed $100,000, whatever he hadn't paid back yet, if he still owed $90,000, it was to be forgiven at the end of 7 years. Pretty good deal. I wish the banks would apply that to philosophy. You were allowed to charge a foreigner. You did not have to forgive their loans or money that was lended to them. But if to lend to a fellow Israelite, it was to be forgiven after 7 years. And I kind of compared that to us today. Going, if you go to the New Testament, it doesn't necessarily talk about Israelites so much as it does. It refers to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So I'm going to reference that in a few of these. So it says, if there be a poor man among you, you're supposed to give to them. It says, within any of the gates of your land which the Lord your God has giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. So you're supposed to share. You're supposed to give willingly. You should open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his needs. And give him whatever he needs. You're supposed to be open to helping them. And then verse 9 references that seventh year. It says, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. Now, the reason they didn't want to give him anything is because, we're in the sixth year already. Come on. He's not going to pay it back by then. So they didn't want to give in that time. But Luke, it talks about that. About giving to people. It says, chapter 6, verse 34, says, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those with whom you receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. So here it says, Christ says, you know what? Lend to those when you're not going to get back. It's okay. It's okay to give to people that when you know they're not going to give you anything in return. That's how you show love. The title of that little part of Scripture is Love Your Enemies. So one way of showing Christ's love is even if we know we're not going to give anything back, give. It's okay. Kind of got ahead of myself just a little bit. Galatians talks about giving to other Christians, to other brothers. Galatians 6, verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So if we see a brother in need, especially, give to those. Help those out. See somebody that needs something. 1 John 3:17-18. Actually, I started in 16. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So it's a way of showing God's love. Verse 16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Christ gave the ultimate gift. He gave us salvation. When he gave his life for us, that was the ultimate gift. We can't do any better than what Christ has done. But we can share that gift to people around, just like Dwight and Donna are doing, especially with that Lady Mandy. They're sharing the ultimate gift, salvation, eternal life, something that's going to last forever. I can give to somebody a brand new pickup truck, but when they die, that truck is not going with them, and that truck is not going to save them. But by sharing with somebody the plan of salvation, showing them love, showing them that you care about them. If Dwight and Donna would just say to them, become a Christian. If they wouldn't have been showing them for 2 years, they've been speaking into this woman's life. They've been showing love. They've been laying down their life for her. And so by this, it's starting to bring her around that, you know what? Maybe there is something here. It says, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? How are you showing love if you're not going to share what you have with people, with especially with brothers? Sorry. But then verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How true is that? How easy is it? How easy is it to say, you know what? I love you, and you know, I God loves you, but you turn and walk away, and you don't have any actions to go with it. It says, but in deed and in truth. You know, if you, like it says, if you have this world's goods, if you have what you need, more than you need, and you see somebody in need and you don't give it to them, doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what your words are, if your actions, I mean, the saying, the actions speak louder than words is very true. You can say whatever you want to, but if your actions don't line up with what you're saying, people are going to know by your actions. All right, moving on. I thought it was interesting that verse 9 talks about it. It says, when I finish the end of verse 9, it says, they cry out to the Lord against you, because you didn't give him to him. You gave him nothing. And he cried out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. So by not giving to somebody that you have, that you should be giving to, it became sin for them. It becomes sin for us. If God is speaking to us and says, you know what, you need to help somebody out. I've blessed you with this. You need to help them out. And you don't do it. You're hardening your heart. You're becoming a sin. It says it becomes sin among you. All right, verse 10 says, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. Second Corinthians 9, verse 7 and 8. Says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Like it says in verse 10, thine heart shall not be grieved. And jumping back to 2 Corinthians 9, it says, not grudgingly or of necessity. So, we're supposed to have, for it says, for God loves a cheerful giver. We're supposed to be happy that we can give. God has blessed us with so much. And here in America, we don't think about the fact that, you know what, we're blessed. But you start looking around, we truly are blessed. We have way more than what we need. And there's lots of people, even in the U.S., that are... don't have enough or don't have as much, but we are truly blessed. And then it says, God will bless you in all your works and in all which you put your hand, So God's going to bless what you do if you're willing to be used of him. If you're not willing to be used of you, God is not, I mean, God does not bless as much. Maybe, not saying that God's not going to bless you, because there are people that seem to be blessed financially that aren't living a Christian life. But God has blessings for us if we follow him. If we do what he wants us to do, then he's going to bless us. Verse 11 says, for the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor, your needy, in your land. And I thought it was kind of interesting that he used that scripture, and Christ did not say it in the exact same words, but in Matthew it talks about, you know, the poor you'll always have with you. There's always going to be poor. When Mary was anointing his feet with the oil, and they wanted him to use that money to feed the poor, and he was like, you'll always have the poor with you. It's just kind of interesting how some of these scriptures, not the same exact same words, but yet they cross over somewhat. All right, moving on to merciful givers. And this one is, I don't have a whole lot to share about this section, just a little bit. It says, Deuteronomy 24, verses 10 to 15. It says, when you lend your brother anything, you should not go into his house to get his pledge. And his pledge was, if somebody were to borrow something, they were not allowed to charge fellow Israelites interest either. But they could take something from them. So if somebody was poor, they might give their cloak or something that they would use to sleep with. Said that they wouldn't wear it. They didn't necessarily have blankets, but they had an outer coat that they would sleep with. So that's kind of what it's talking about here. But they would give something to signify that, you know what, I owe you this money, and I'm going to give you my cloak, my coat to signify that, you know, I still owe you that money. So it says, you should not go inside into his house to get his pledge. So don't go inside and take it out of his house. It says, you shall stand outside, and the man to whom you lend shall bring the pledge out to you. And if the man is poor, you should not keep his pledge overnight. So you had to go get it in the morning, and he would give it to you, and you would hold on to it all day. And then at night, you had to take it back to him and give it back to him so he had something to sleep with. It says in the commentary that, and I read in Amos, there was some that were not following these. They would keep the man's cloak overnight. And this was a bad thing. It sounds kind of petty, but yet I guess it was a way of remembering that, you know what, this man owes me, or, you know, I owe this man. But it says, you shall not keep his pledge overnight. You shall in any case return the pledge to him again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own garment and bless you. And it shall be righteousness to you before the Lord your God. But God recognized those things. You know, a lot of these things that talks about, it's obedience. It's obedience to God. God, you know what, that took extra effort to bring this guy his cloak. To bring it back to him, and to give it back to him, and not to just keep it. So God recognized this and counted it as righteousness unto him. All right, and that talks about the hired servant. It says, you should not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens. Who is in your land within your gates. Each day you shall give him his wages, and not let the sun go down on it, for he is poor and has set his heart on it, lest he cry out against you to the Lord, and it be sin to you. So here we have again, you know, don't oppress the hired servant. You know, you hear of companies that maybe aren't doing very well, and the guy that owns the company, he owes his employees for months of pay, and he doesn't have the money to give them. Don't do that. This actually says, you shall give him his wages. Each day you shall give him his wages. If a person is poor, they like to be paid every day because they're expecting that money from that day's work to maybe get them food, to maybe, you know, get them gas, whatever it is. They didn't have to buy gas back then, but in today's world, you know, you're not supposed to oppress them. You know, pay them when you're supposed to pay them. and what you're supposed to pay them. But it says, again, I thought it was interesting, lest he cry out against you to the Lord, and it be sin to you. So by you not doing what you say you're going to do, what you should be doing, it becomes sin to you. You withhold from them. Another word that I looked up, it says, thou shalt not oppress an hired servant. And another one, it says, to deprive. So don't hold back from somebody who has given you his time, given you his effort to work for you, and to withhold it from him is not good. It's not. All right. Just another scripture that in Luke 6, the last verse, I did not read it before, but it says, talking about being merciful, when it says, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So be merciful to those who you lend to. Be merciful to those who work for you, or those who are counting on you. So look out for them, just like God is merciful to us. And then Psalms 37, and I decided to read the whole first 1 through 26, because I thought the first part of it just had a lot in there. Says, do not fret. Verse 1 says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall no more. Indeed, shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for this place, and it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. So the first part of this talks about trusting, and trusting the Lord and do good. And I don't believe that if you do good, that God's going to just bless you with everything you need. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. You know, if you give, the more you give, you know, the more you're going to get. And the more you give to the church, the more you give to this. But yet there is a correlation with obedience to God. If you have a child and they show responsibility and they are willing to help, you give them more responsibility. If you have an employee that works really hard, and the harder he works, the more you're going to pay him, right? So God is the same way as what we are. It's just a way of correlating there. You know, if we're faithful with little, he's going to give us more. We know that from the story of the talents, that the rich man gave to his spread out, and the first one comes back and he's doubled it. The second one comes back and he's doubled, and he's saying, "Well done." The third one comes back and he gives him back what he had and said, I knew that you would be upset if I lost it, so I buried it, and here it is back." And he took it away and gave it to the first one. So we know that if we do what we're supposed to do, it's God's going to bless us, going to bless it. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." The first part, it says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." Psalm 73, verse 1 to 3, says, "Truly, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." David seen somebody or some buddies who were prospering, who were wicked. And he said, "My feet had almost slipped because I was envious. I wanted what they had." And it's easy to do. We look around and we see somebody with more than what we have. And we don't look down on people, at people who have less than we have, and say, "I want what they have." We look at people who have more than we have and say, "I want what they have." And that's what David was doing. He was looking up, looking at somebody who had more than what he had, and he wanted what they had. So it says, "Do not fret, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." Because you know what? That's going to go away. It says it's going to soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. That's going to go away. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord. I think I shared this last time I preached. "He shall give you the desires of your heart." That's a verse that's I've really come to appreciate. Delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. What are you doing to delight yourself in the Lord? If we want to become blessed givers, if we want to become blessed, what are we doing? I'm not going to go through each one of these because just take too long, but you know, there's a lot of these. It says, you know, evildoers are going to be cut off. We shall inherit those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. It's talking about if we just do what we're supposed to do, do what the Bible tells us to, God's going to bless us with what we have. Verse 21 says, the wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. So even though people borrow, supposed to still show mercy and give. It says, "For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off." We don't have to worry about taking vengeance on people. God's going to take care of that. God has the ultimate authority in that. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." So God is there with us. The Lord is there with us. And if we follow His steps, He's going to be there. He's going to be there when we stumble and when we fall. We're not going to completely be utterly cast down. The Lord upholded him with His hand. And then the last two verses here, it says, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed." Every time I read this, see this verse 25, it says, "I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." I think of Cynthia over in Jamaica. And this was an old lady that would come up to the house to clean. One of our good friends, And that was one of the verses that she quoted. Her husband was blind, no legs. He's since passed away. One of her sons has now passed away. And yet that was one of the verses that she hung on to. When he went blind, it was whether to choose between buying medicine for his sugar or buying food. And they decided to buy food rather than sugar and sugar pills. But it says, "Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." She knew God was going to be there for her. He's ever merciful and lendeth. His seed and his descendants are blessed. So, if we are givers, if we're willing to be used by Christ, by God, to give to those in need, be cheerful givers. Acts 20:35, Jolene referenced it already. It says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you try that, it actually is more blessed to give than to receive. Not to toot my own horn or anything, but yesterday I was at Zaxby's, and as I was standing there, I'd paid for my food already, and the guy came in behind me, and he had an army uniform on. And he ordered his food, and I just handed him some cash. I said, "Here, pay this." And the guy was blown away. He was like, "What?" And I said, "I want to buy your food." And he was just blown away. But I think it did more for me than it did for him. Because I don't know why, I just felt like God was telling me, "You know what, you need to get this, you need to do this." And so maybe it was a lesson for me, probably because of what I was thinking on, what I had been studying on, to be willing to give. When God asks us to, I think we need to do it. And one of the verses that I had, I did not share it, says, "Give with liberality. Give with generosity. Do it willingly." God's going to bless us if we follow what He has for us. He's going to bless us, and He's going to give us what we need if we're willing to be used of Him. And maybe we won't have the nicest car, maybe we won't have the high dollar things or whatever, but if we're willing to be used for Him, He's going to take care of us. God, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If we're following after Him, we're not going to go hungry. We're doing what he has for us. All right, this is all I have. Why don't we stand for prayer, and be dismissed after prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word that we have. Father, I thank You for the reminder that we need to be willing to give to those in need, to those who are hurting, whatever it may be, Father. I pray that we would not just do it in word, but yet we would put actions to it. We would do it in deed. Father, I pray that You would help us to apply what You have for us in Your word today to this week. Help us to let Your light shine to each one we come in contact with as we go about the week. Father, I pray that You would just be with each one who's here. Father, think of Mary, as she's not able to be here this morning. Is she dealing with the COVID virus? Father, I pray that You would just be with her and touch her body this morning. Father, thank You that so many have come through it already and are getting better. Father, I thank You that Harold was able to be here with us this morning. Father, I pray that You would just be with each one of us this week. Father, help us to let Your light shine as we go from day to day. I ask You just go with us today. Watch over us and keep us this week. In Your name I pray. Amen.